Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to you all. Your lordship comes to you in the form of Mr. Tommy Lorenzo Hart, a former Christian preacher minister. He is author of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. My Lord would like to share the findings of his 38-year study on the contents of the book commonly known as the King James Bible, but which Mr. Hart says is the Vatican's one and only authorized version of the Bible. Our Father is not a Christian or a religionist. He has come to unravel Vatican deception by decrypting Bible content. Our Lord brings to light the secrets of the Vatican and reveals the now 400-year stratagem with the level-headed study and analysis unlike any other. His Excellency unscrambles the authorized version's confusing text and separates truth from fiction. He defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, and God. His premise, the King James Version, written in 1611, is a book of law, the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white. The Vatican is a governmental body, institution, for the purpose of subjugating all non-white people and undermining all whom they call black or African people worldwide through what Vatican law deemed the curse. All while hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion, using the Bible in perversity and deceit. Mr. Hart's bibliography is the King James Bible, the authorized version of the Roman Catholic Church, a product of the Vatican. So without further ado, I want to introduce the host of the show, my Lord, Tommy Hart. Father, are you with us?
Yes, I am here, Mr. Welch, and thank you very much. Today we're going to continue with the title of the episode being Voice of the Plaintiff. We started this on our last visit, coming together, and the plaintiff began to set forth his complaint. We began to look into the complaint of the plaintiff. The plaintiff has identified himself as a black person, black individual, and we will entertain such questions as Psalm 42:1, why art thou cast out? Another question, Job 19:22, why do ye persecute me? And this question is coming from the plaintiff. Why do ye persecute me and are not satisfied with my flesh? Flesh there, meaning kindred, relatives. Why do you persecute me, treat me cruelly, you cruelly oppress me? Why do you persecute me and are not satisfied with my flesh? I want to say here, the voice of the plaintiff is not that of a single individual. Neither is it against just one person. This voice of the plaintiff is representative of the black race, the people who were invaded upon, conquered, enslaved, scattered by the Gentiles. and its complaint is against the papacy and the Gentiles. So we have a plaintiff and we have a defendant. The voice's speaker identifies himself in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, saying, I am blank. Now, whether this voice speaks using the singular I, my, me, etc., or plural pronoun we, our, us, etc., its message still is about the whole. And with that reading, we begin, we continue. There's another question I want to set forth here, coming from Lamentations 3:39. The question, wherefore doth a living man complain? And another question here, Galatians 5, verse 11. Why do I yet suffer persecution? And there is something here in Job 21:4. Let's take a look at that. Job 21:4. Okay. As for me, Job 21:4, as for me is my complaint to man. Well, we should be able to see that by the end of this broadcast. The plaintiff says, is my complaint to man. And we have another one here, Psalm 142, verse 2. Psalm 142, verse 2. The plaintiff says, I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. Okay. Now, if I can go back to Psalm 42:11. Psalm 42:11. The question to the plaintiff, why art thou cast down? Cast down there means saddened, discouraged. So the question, why art thou saddened? Why art thou discouraged? Again, the setting here is during the enslavement era. And again, I say it's history and it's old knowledge that black people were enslaved at the hands of the Gentiles. The Gentiles were carrying out orders from the papacy in their conquest of black people, their subjugation of all black people, their scattering and enslavement of black people. The Gentiles were carrying out the word of their God coming from the papacy. Now, Esther 3:8, I have two leads here. The first coming from Esther 3:8. All right, the first lead, Esther 3:8. There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. Salim. And I can ask the question, I can set forth the question, what people do we know that has been scattered abroad? Okay. And not by their own choosing. A certain people scattered abroad. And the second lead coming from Nahum, chapter 3, verse 18. Nahum. Just a small book. And maybe I can find it quickly and not pass it. Nahum. Okay, the statement says, thy people is scattered. All right. Nahum 3:18, thy people is scattered. And let's look at this, Genesis 11:6. The question coming from Nahum 3:18, what people do we know has been scattered? Same as from the first lead statement. They were not scattered by their own choosing. Genesis 11:6. Okay, Genesis 11:6. And the statement of interest is this. Behold, the people is one. The people is one. Therefore, the plaintiff, as I stated earlier, whether the plaintiff uses the personal pronoun I or me, my, or he uses the plural, we, our, us, the one speaks for the whole. The plaintiff speaks for the whole, for all black people who were taken into captivity by the Gentiles. Okay, those are the two lead statements. Again, they are Esther 3:8 and Nahum 3:18. A certain people scattered, thy people is scattered. The people is one. Lamentations 3:1. The plaintiff makes a statement here. Lamentations 3:1. The plaintiff says, at the beginning of his statement, he says, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. I am the man that hath seen affliction. And certainly, being enslaved was an affliction against the black people. The affliction of slavery, enslavement. I am the man that has seen affliction. He has experienced it. He hasn't been told about it, but he has actually observed and he has experienced the affliction. Exodus 18:3. And some of these statements we read last time, but for continuity's sake, I will read them again. Exodus 18:3, he says, I have been an alien in a strange land. So is he looking back here? I have been an alien in a strange land. A strange land, a land not of his nativity, a land that is not his, nor his people's. And Job 19,
15.
Last statement in the verse, the plaintiff says, I am an alien in their sight. All right, now for clarity purposes, who is talking? Who is the alien? Who is the I? Who is the alien? And who is this in their sight? I, the black man, the one who has suffered affliction, the one who has experienced and seen affliction, I am an alien. He is an alien. He's in a strange land, a land not his. He's there by not by his own choosing. He's in a strange land. I am an alien in there, who is the there, the Gentiles' sight. Okay? That means he was taken up in the slave trade and the slave market. Okay? He's one of those who has been scattered. One of those black people who has been scattered. I am an alien in there, the Gentiles' sight. And just keep this in mind that these things are in the Bible. And these things are real things. Okay? Psalm 40, verse 17, the plaintiff continues. 40:17. The poor man says, the plaintiff says, I am poor and needy. Okay? I am a black man. I have seen, experienced affliction. I am an alien in their sight. I am poor and needy. Also know that this is a complaint, right? The plaintiff, all right? These things constitute the complaint of the plaintiff. All right? Next, Nehemiah or Nehemiah 4:4. He appeals to God. He says, hear, O our God, for we are despised. Now, he has been using the singular pronoun I. Now he uses the plural we. He says, we are despised. I am the man that has seen affliction. I am black. I am an alien in the Gentile sight. I am poor and needy. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Esther 7:4. Let's pick it up. For we are despised, for we are sold. Another part of the complaint. We are sold, I and my people, for what purposes? To be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. Hear, O our God. We are sold, I and my people. Job 19:18, continuing with the complaint. That was Job 19:18. Yeah,
young children despised me.
Young children. The Gentiles taught their young children to despise those who were taken in the affliction. Young children despised me.
Acts 28:20. Continuing with this complaint. Acts 28:20. I am bound with this chain. Imagine that, seeing him in court, in chains, he says, I am bound with this chain. As he stands before the judge.
Job 19:13.
All right, Job 19:13. He has put my brethren far from me. The he, representative of the Gentiles. He has put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me.
What is that indicative of? That is indicative of the slave trade. The slave trade and the scattering of black people. The scattering of black people. Okay? He says in his complaint, I am black. I am the man that has seen affliction. I am an alien in their sight. I am poor and needy. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. We are sold, I and my people, for the purpose of destruction. I am bound with this chain. Also, the chain with the chain there, he is restricted. All right? Kept within certain limits. All right? And he's put my brethren far from me, separated them. Genesis 49:26. We have a statement here at the end of the verse that says, it's a fragment that says, him that was separate from his brethren. Lamentations 5:5. All right, Lamentations 5:5. Our necks are under persecution, cruel oppression. We labor and have no rest. Revelation 14:11. The statement here in about the middle of the verse, they have no rest day nor night. Now, that's a confirmation statement right there, okay. Separate from the complaint, but yet related. Luke 17:10. Luke 17:10. We are unprofitable servants, slaves, servants. All right? Let's go from the beginning of his complaint. I am black. I am the man that has seen affliction. I am poor and needy. I am an alien in the Gentiles' sight. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. We are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed and slain. Yeah, young children despised me. I am bound with this chain. He's parted me from my brethren. We labor and have no rest. We are unprofitable servants. Our necks are under persecution. And now he points his finger. Psalm 44:11. Psalm 44:11. He points his finger to the papacy. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered, there it is, the word scattered, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Now, the question, who were black people scattered among? They were scattered among the Gentiles. They were scattered among the nations of the Gentiles. There is a, remember Esther 3:8 I read off at the beginning, there is a certain people scattered, the lead statement, and Nahum 3:18, thy people is scattered. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat and hast scattered us among the heathen. And that act was done by two parties acting together, the parties being the papacy and the Gentiles. He continues with his complaint. Isaiah 50:6. Isaiah 50:6, he says, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. Listen to him. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. The plaintiff setting forth his complaint. He continues, Hebrews 12:21. Hebrews 12:21. The plaintiff says, I exceedingly fear and quake. Exceedingly, I fear and quake. He gave his back to the smiters, his cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. And he testifies in his complaint that he did not hide his face from shame and spitting. They spit in his face. Smote him and plucked off the hair of his cheeks. And he says, I exceedingly fear and quake. Galatians 3:23. Galatians 3:23, he says this, were shut up. We were shut up. That means confined, even imprisoned. We were shut up. And he says in Lamentations 5, verse 8, Lamentations 5, 8, he says, there is none that doth deliver us out of there, the enslavers, the Gentiles' hand. Okay, so now that's the complaint. Is this everything in the Bible that has to do with his complaint? No, it's not. But this is enough to, and it serves as hard evidence of the plaintiff's complaint. We can't deny these things, that all these things happened to black people. The enslaving, the scattering, the laboring and having no rest, the working that does not profit themselves at all, their cruel oppression, suffering cruel oppression, they're being bound, the young children despising them. They're being sold, bought. They're being aliens and strangers in other lands, not by their own choosing, and they're seeing affliction. Okay, so we can see why the question there in Psalm 42:11 asks, why art thou cast down? The cause of his being cast down is set forth in the complaint. You would be cast down too if you suffered the same things. Cast down there again means saddened, discouraged. Nehemiah 6:16. All right, Nehemiah 6:16. They were much cast down in their own act. They being a reference to those who were enslaved, those who suffered and experienced the affliction of defeat, enslavement, scattering. They were much cast down in their own eye. Now we're going to continue after the announcement, and we're going to see other things that the black people who were called slaves by the Gentiles did to them right after the announcement. Mr. Welch? Okay, Mr. Welch is away from the mic. Okay, let's go to Hebrews 11:34. But before there, let's go to Psalm 36:12. Psalm Psalm 36:12, the statement says, the statement confirms that confirms something about the black people, those who were who suffered the affliction of enslavement, scattering, etc. It says, Psalm 36:12, they are cast down and shall not be able to rise. That was one of the objectives, one of the papacy's objectives, that they be cast down and not be able to rise. Okay? They being a reference to the black people. So why art thou cast down? That is evident in the complaint. They were much cast down in their own eyes, and confirmatory statement as well as an objective or aim. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. They are taken into captivity that they shall not be able to rise. Now, back to the question, why do, Job 19:22, why do ye persecute me and are not satisfied with my flesh? Isaiah 53:2 makes a statement, deals with a statement. Isaiah 53:2. What do the Gentiles say about him and his people? The statement comes from the papacy, who is speaking in behalf of all Gentiles. To the end of the verse, Isaiah 53:2. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now you look up the word desire in your dictionary, okay? When we, the Gentiles, shall see him, representative of those who were who suffered the affliction of enslavement, defeat, scattering, etc. When we Gentiles shall see him or any of his, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And him being there, him or her. Okay? Remember, the him speaks for the whole, speaks to the whole. Now, what, just let me ask a question here. Mr. Welch, are you there?
Good morning, Mr. Hart.
Yes. How are you?
It's a beautiful morning here.
Good.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
I'm listening to the show.
Okay.
And just whenever you're ready, let me know when you want to do a station break.
Okay, let's do it now.
Okay.
Thank you, Father. To the listeners, if you would like to receive your copy of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, go to www.lawmaster.co. That's www.lawmaster.co. On the left side of the webpage, click the manuscript and the PayPal button inscribed Donate. For a $12 donation, you will be redirected to a link and download your very own copy in PDF format. Also, become a member to the website and post videos, photos, and take advantage of the links, free books, and email feature amongst members. You can also visit us on YouTube.
go to www.youtube.com/lawofgods. Again, youtube.com/lawofgods. One word. You can find Mr. Hart on Facebook. Simply type the Book of the Law of God. You may post on the news feed any stories, links, videos, and articles relating to the context of the show. Feel free to start discussions, ask questions, make comments, and dialogue. You can now follow His Excellency on Twitter. That's twitter.com. Search Tommy L. Hart. Again, Tommy L. Hart. You will find these links here on the show page. And remember, keep listening to Lawmaster on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Back to you, my lord.
Thank you, Mr. Welch. And we are talking about the plaintiff's complaint, the complaint of the plaintiff. The plaintiff has identified himself. The plaintiff had his day in court, identifying himself as a black man, the man that has seen, the man that has experienced and endured affliction. He says about himself and his people, he says that I and my people are sold. And for what reason? To be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. He also says that he's poor and needy. He says the young Gentile children despised him either. He sets forth his complaint, and he says to God, he speaks to God, okay, in his complaint. O our God, hear us. He wishes to be heard, that his case is heard, and that he seeks relief. That is what the plaintiff is seeking, not for himself alone, but for his people. He seeks relief for his people from the terrible affliction. Now, the Bible says this, the Book of the Law says, remember and forget not. Okay? And they put these things in the Bible where the people should never, in the Bible, so that the people, you know, would not forget, because the poor man's plight is scattered throughout Bible content. Scattered throughout Bible content. Remember and forget not. Again, it says, remember the former things of old, or remember the former days of old, the days that have come before these, the present, the now. And we know that with regard to the time the Bible speaks of, it speaks of the time of the Gentile conquest of Africa and its inhabitants. It speaks of the enslavement of African people. The Bible, the Authorized Version, speaks of the Gentiles scattering of all black people, and that is, those things are mentioned in the complaint of the plaintiff. So this is very good, it is interesting, and it has bearings on us now, even today. You don't find this conversation going on too often, but to just see the depth of which the Bible speaks about the affliction brought upon black people by the Gentiles. It can't be missed. It cannot be overlooked. It cannot be disregarded. Remember and forget not. Remember the former days of old. Okay. So we're going to continue here. See what else is set forth for us. All of these things are tied together. The curse that is in the Authorized Version, the Passover law, the law of God, the sovereignty of God, the consent of the governed, and even the complaint of the afflicted. O thou afflicted, tossed about, the Bible says. Matter of fact, it's right here on this page. All right. This is in Isaiah 54, verse 11. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest. Who is that talking about? We know who he's talking about now. The black man, the man that said he's black in the Bible, says he is a man that has seen or experienced affliction. I and my people are sold. So, O thou afflicted, O thou black people, O thou African people. Okay? And it's obvious in the complaint of the plaintiff. I'll just give you an overview of the statements, or the references, rather. We have a reference from the book of Psalms, reference from the book of Hebrew, reference from the book of Jeremiah, reference from the book of Lamentations, reference from the book of Galatians, reference from the book of Nehemiah, reference from the book of Exodus, reference from even the small book of Song of Solomon, reference from the small book of Nahum, reference from Esther, reference from Job, reference from Revelation. The Bible speaks throughout itself of the affliction of black people. We cannot overlook it. We cannot disregard it. The authors of Scripture want these things to be seen. They cannot be missed. They cannot be overlooked. And also remember in his complaint that he has pointed his finger at the papacy and the Gentiles. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat. Isn't that something? I gave my back to the smiters, the book of Isaiah. Let's go on. From the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, many scholars call that the faith chapter, I believe, Hebrews 11. We're talking about the plight of the afflicted, the plight of the Africans taken into captivity by the Gentiles. Let's see here. Hebrews 11:34, just a fragment here, the last fragment in the verse, Hebrews 11:34, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. And the black man in his complaint has already said, I am an alien in there, the Gentiles' sight. Reading on in verse 35, Hebrews 11, others were tortured. Verse 36, others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, beatings, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. We're talking about black people, things they suffered, okay, things they experienced. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. My, my, my. They were tempted. And remember, even in our day and time, there have been Gentile women who call it rape and pointed the finger at some black man. Some of those cases, a black man had nothing to do with it. Okay? They were tempted. Were slain with the sword. Here's a wrap-up statement. At the end of verse 37, Hebrews 11, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Isn't that something? The depth to which the Bible surveys the experiences of black people. When we shall see him, or any else he is, there is no beauty that we should desire him or her, Isaiah 53:2. The end of the slaves. What was supposed to be the end of the afflicted? Let's see here. Hebrews 6:8. Hebrews 6:8 is the last fragment at the end of the verse, whose end is to be burned. Isaiah 47:14. We're talking about the end, what was supposed to be the end of the slaves, what the Gentiles were supposed to do with them, whose end is to be burned. Isaiah 47:14. Behold, they, it's talking about people, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. Psalm 140:10. Psalm 140:10. Let burning coals fall upon them. Is this good or is it bad? Is it right or is it wrong? Is it evil or is it righteousness? Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. This is the second time we've come across that statement, that they rise not up again. Proverbs 30:14. And it's the statement that starts with to devour. To devour the poor from off the earth. The black man has stated in his complaint that he is poor and needy. The end of the slaves, the end of the afflicted, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. The black man stated, I am poor and needy. The black, speaking of the black race, poor and needy. The intent is to, the end is to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. And we see by how that would be done, they were to be burned. Let burning coals fall upon them. They shall be as stubble, the fire shall burn them. Ezekiel 8. I didn't put the full reference there, so I might not be able to thank it. Okay. I'll just read it. The Lord said, and this is the papal statement, says, yet will I leave a remnant. Yet will I leave a remnant
So, many blacks were burned, destroyed by fire. Yet, and this to the end of the enslavement era, many were burned. We read the statement coming from Hebrews 11, they were sawn asunder during the experience of the affliction of slavery and all. They were stoned, and then the end, to be burned, many were burned, yet a remnant was left. How many constituted the remnant? I don't know. But those who are black now, we are that remnant that was left. Our roots lie within that remnant that was left. This is Bible. This is sacred information. It's in the Bible. If the information fits, then we must regard it. The information fit black people, the affliction, the being poor and needy, the being aliens. And let me make a statement about that. It's so real. Even in the United States of America, the slaves were not considered citizens. What amendment gave those coming out of slavery citizenship in the United States of America? What amendment gave them citizenship? Okay. Do you know? Okay. Well, I might have it here. I'll read. Section 1. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. The 14th Amendment. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States. 14th Amendment gave those blacks coming out of slavery and enslavement citizenship in the United States of America. The statement is so true. Being a slave, the plaintiff said, I am an alien in their sight. I am an alien in the Gentile sight. Slaves were not citizens of the nations wherein they were kept in captivity. And as I said, even in the United States, the 14th Amendment gave the former slaves citizenship. The Bible is so real and it speaks so truly. If you think otherwise, then you don't know it. Mr. Welch, that's my delivery for today.
Well, I would say that it was a yet another excellent show, and you know, as listeners tune in, you are always edified with something new and informative. And it's funny that you ended the show speaking on the 14th Amendment and the jurisdiction. Could you read that one more time? There's a question, but I want to make sure that I heard you correctly. Could you one more time?
Read the amendment.
Yes, sir.
Read the amendment. Okay. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Mr. Welch.
Wow, that's very profound. And what comes to mind when I think about the 14th Amendment is some of the words of Dr. Claude Pearson. And I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's the author of Powernomics. And he also penned a book called Black Labor, White Wealth. And I have that book here somewhere. But there's a chapter where he goes over the 14th Amendment, actually the 13th Amendment as well. And there's another publication, too, that speaks on the 14th Amendment. But, you know, there's this whole thing about if the 14th Amendment is unconstitutional or not. And in one paragraph of this book, it states, it says, according to former U.S. Congressman John Rarick, attorneys Gene Healy and Raoul Berger, who have formally challenged the 14th Amendment on the grounds that it was never constitutionally ratified because less than 3/4 of the existing states of the nation of the Union at the time passed the amendment. If Rarick, Berger, and Healy are correct, and the 14th Amendment is invalid, now get this, the Dred Scott decision is still the law of the land. In other words, former slaves and the descendants of former slaves are not and can never be U.S. citizens. And it says, are blacks in America citizens or refugees? The Emancipation Proclamation of 1863 formally abolished slavery, but it did not free all slaves from bondage or automatically grant citizenship to former slaves. To clarify this point, let's define the words immigrant and citizen. Immigrant, a legal, permanent non-citizen who is subject to conditions set by immigration laws. In other words, a legal immigrant is a free individual, but all free individuals are not citizens. And the definition for citizen is a member of a state or a naturalized person who goes through a formal process of naturalization, owes allegiance to a government, and is entitled to protection from that government. In other words, for a non-citizen, in other words, a refugee or a legal immigrant, to become a U.S. citizen, he or she must complete a formal citizenship or naturalization process. If this is the law, what formal citizenship process did former slaves and freed blacks complete to become U.S. citizens? So these are some things that have been brought up that we have to question regarding that 14th Amendment, because as it stands, the 14th Amendment was supposed to be legislation passed for during the post Civil War with respect to black people who were since freed from bondage, slavery. But if you go back in history and look at all of the Supreme Court cases dealing with the 14th Amendment, I don't know the exact number, but I believe it was a little short of 100 cases actually before the Supreme Court free African Americans. And none of those cases were ruled in favor of African Americans with respect to the 14th Amendment. But the corporation now, that's a different story. When the corporation comes forth regarding the 14th Amendment, the judges more than often ruled in favor of the corporation. And it's a high percentage, too. I would say above 85%, 90% of the time. So the question still remains, are we citizens of the United States as freed people? And I don't want, I can answer those questions, and I'm in no means an expert, and I'm sure other people could do a better job. But, the short answer that I have is no. I have yet to see the evidence that black people are citizens, as free people are citizens of the United States. And I don't even know if we can be, because when you get off into, you know, corporate law or, as they say, admiralty maritime law and whatnot, you cannot be a citizen of a corporation. And I'll just leave it there before it gets too confusing. We do have a caller in the queue, so I would say to the caller, if you would like to voice your opinion, ask a question, if you have a comment, please feel free to raise your hand and we can bring you in. If not, sit back. I hope you're enjoying what you're hearing, and invite others to tune in. Going forward, back to you, Mr. Hart. Do you have anything to say in regards to that?
I would like to make this statement that it wasn't my intent to get into all that, but I just tied that in because of the scriptures.
Yes.
The plaintiff said that he is an alien, you know. To the Gentiles. And so the 14th Amendment came up bearing witness to the complaint of the plaintiff in saying that he was not a citizen in the countries that slaves were, you know, taken to. And so the tie-in with the 14th Amendment is that even in the United States of America, we have the 14th Amendment, which, to my knowledge, and which is supposed to grant citizenship to slaves. Now, you always have those who, the yeas and the nays and the pros and the cons and all like that, you know, but that's not my, that was not my purpose for that, just to tie in. The 14th Amendment in the United States, to give an example, rather, of what the plaintiff was saying. And we need to focus on Scripture, because by law of Scripture, I'm not supposed to weigh in on things that are non-scriptural. Okay? Now, I can give examples like I did. But I'm not supposed to mix secular information with scriptural information. I'm to keep those things separate. Do we have a question or a comment from anyone, Mr. Welch?
Let's see. The caller is just listening. But I just want to make the comment that you're absolutely right, that I think that it is nothing short of brilliant that you are able to use only the Bible, the authorized King James Version Bible, which, as we've talked about in the past, is being the first law book of the Gentiles given to them by the papacy and the Pope. And really, you don't need an entire bibliography of cross references. In your 38 years of study, I just find it just brilliant that you are able to conclude all the things that are corroborated through other secular texts and whatnot, and you talk about the different laws and whatnot. So I just, again, the things that I've studied over the years, you were able to pull them out of the Bible itself, and that has never been done before. So when I mentioned the 14th Amendment and emancipation and maritime law and everything else, those things just whenever you speak about these the scripture, my mind quickly goes off into the areas that I've things that I've read or or studied or pondered, and and again, Your Lordship, it just lets me know that you are definitely doing something that has not been done before.
That's great. That's good. And thank you for the comment there. And that's another reason why this information. That's another reason why this information is so important. We really find out the essence of Bible content. Many people have said, not only among black people, that I read the Bible, but I don't understand it. And my intent is to clarify Bible content. And I have learned myself so much from the Bible itself. And as I said early on in my study and scrutiny and analysis of Bible content, that, wow, black people need to know these things. You know, we need to know these things because we think the Bible is one thing, and it's a totally different thing altogether.
Yes, your study and analysis is definitely in lockstep with the information that is out here, and I again, your only bibliography is the King James Bible, but I think that people have to come to understand that it really does fit in with everything that has been taking place since the writing of 1611. We're in the 400th year of the King James Bible, and it was the catalyst that set off everything else that has taken place up till now. And mm-hmm. So therefore, you have gone and examined the King James Bible for the past 38 years and uncovered the catalyst, you know, I say that again, for all the events, all of the things that have taken place since then, with respect to law,
mm-hmm.
and how it relates to former slaves as Africans and whatnot, you have solved the great mystery.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And again, let me tie this in also. Also, in the United States of America's Constitution, we have the 13th Amendment, which put an end to slavery, stating that, you know, no involuntary servitude shall exist in the United States of America or any of its territories. Now, the United States is not the only one that has done these things, like the 13th Amendment and the 14th Amendment. Other nations as well, have done the same thing, okay, because they were all under the same law, okay, coming from the papacy.
Yes.
But the United States is where I live, and so I give examples, you know, using the United States of America and its Constitution. But we can learn so much from the Bible and see why, case in point, the 13th and 14th Amendment were added to the Constitution, whether one, you know, really believes in it or not, the Constitution, that is, and the amendments. But we can see the reasons for these things and how, as you said, the Bible and current progress, if you will, you know, go together hand in hand. And we see how the Gentiles, alias white people, how they regard the Bible. They regard it as a law book. Because, why do I say such? Because they do the things that are commanded them to do in it, you know, from the law of the curse to the law of emancipation and all the other things. They live by the laws that are in the Bible. Now, during the enslavement era, those were the laws that were in effect. Now, they weren't right now. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying how the Gentiles, whether the papal law is good or bad, right or wrong, they carry out papal law. They carry out the orders and dictates of the papacy. So it's just wonderful that this information is coming forth and people are finding out, those who did not know before, what the Bible is all about. Now, I still hold the Bible in high esteem, knowing what is in it, because it is good to know the truth, and then that the Gentiles have hidden truth in the Bible, whether it was good or bad, it's a necessity for us to know what is in the book, Bible, because so many black people all over the world have been affected by what is in the things in the Authorized Version. So many of us have been affected. And so many of us have been deceived by outward teaching of what is in the Bible and not by the Bible itself, you know. The Gentiles, why do they teach and preach Jesus? It's a cover-up. It's a cover-up of all that is real in the Bible. And we must get beyond the cover-up, see Jesus, the character Jesus in the Bible, for what that character is, just a character, a fictitious character, and all these other truths which I have been exposing, turn our attention and our hearts to that, and act in accordance with what is real in the Bible. Knowledge is good. Accurate knowledge is good. It's better. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Well, Mr. Hart, once again, it is nothing short of amazing that you were able to conclude all of this from Bible content. And much of the literature that I've read over the years, again, like I stated, Dr. Claude Anderson wrote a book, Black Labor, White Wealth, in the early 90s. And I read that book a couple years ago, and I had to stop reading it at bedtime because I couldn't get to sleep after reading just a paragraph. It would it was just too disturbing. And there's an appendix in the back of the book. And it's called The Boundary Safeguards of Restrictions in Southern States. And it starts back in 1619. And these are legal and social restrictions, you know, stateside legal and social restrictions dating back to 1619. Maryland segregation policy recommended that blacks be socially excluded. And if you jump forward to all of the states, Virginia, the Carolinas, South Carolina, North Carolina, many of the laws that they had prescribed banishment for any white woman marrying a black, prohibited blacks from holding or assuming any public office, rewarded slaves with freedom for informing on other slaves, forbade and criminalized black and white marriages, criminalized runaway slaves to protect owners' investments, impeded blacks from meeting or having a sense of community, forbade slaves from raising or owning farm animals, allowed sale or execution of slaves attempting to flee. This is, you know, during the 1700s. Now, if you go forward and you look at, there's one law in in particular that I believe it was a Maryland a law that stated that the United States, here it is. In the year 1790, this is the first naturalization law, and it states the restriction was that Congress declares the United States a white nation. Again, in the year 1790, this was a year, I think it was the Declaration or the Constitution was signed into existence in the year 1787, and 3 years later, the first naturalization law, Congress declares the United States a white nation. So it would explain why with the 13th Amendment, 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, you know, specifically talking about that 13th Amendment that you brought up, it contains an exception clause that cleared the way for nearly a century of involuntary black servitude because blacks had no kingdom alternatives. Although the government had promised compensation to slaves upon emancipation, blacks never received the promised 40 acres of land, tools, or the mule. Abandoned without resources, most black freedmen had little recourse but to accept the white planter's terms. And that exception clause, I'm going to paraphrase the 13th Amendment. It says that involuntary slavery is abolished except for punishment for crimes. And so all one has to do is criminalize everything that black people do in what are called black codes. Criminalize everything that we do, what we can and cannot do. And it's easy to put us right back into slavery through the penal system. And that's why you have today, Mr. Hart, the population of African Americans is 39 million people, and over 40% of the prison population is of African Americans. It's hugely disproportionate with respect to our population in this nation. A population that is actually on the decrease, and you know, I won't go any further with that. But you know, just you state so eloquently every Sunday, Bible content, talking about the plight of the poor man, talking about the plight of the former slaves in this nation and whatnot. And what I'm doing is just giving in detail some of the facts that we're coming across over all of the years in cooperation with what you're stating. So, again, all one would have to do is accept that what you're stating is true.
Mm-hmm.
It is true.
Yeah, we can look at the plaintiff's or the black man's complaint, you know, which I went over last weekend today, and see that see the truth, reality, for what it is. He asked the question, why is he yet persecuted, and why do they find fault in his flesh? You know, I guess that question is still being asked by some today. But we have made strides, I must say that. Our strides have been made. You know what I'm saying? We may not be a perfect position, but we are in a much better position now than we were during the enslavement era, of course, obviously. And that's why we should have an ear for the truth and for the message of this program, because never before, I believe, as you've said, has Bible content been brought forth as it is being done so now by me. It hasn't happened before. Blacks have never had access to the truth of Bible content, and I hope I can be heard clearly. My mic sometimes slips away from near my mouth.
You're loud and clear, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay. This is the first time that black people and other people of other races have ever had access to Bible truth. The first time. So this teaching is historic. It's a first. And we should take any black that hears this information, I say to you, we should take this information wholeheartedly, take it to heart, and build upon it. And if you will, let us know who you are. The question is asked in the Bible, who is on my side? So I ask the question, who is on my side? I'm on the side of truth of Bible content. Will you join me?
And
you need to know it. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. And what you are bringing forth is not really. I'm sorry, there was the back of my phone is going down, but I'll continue as I plug it in. We are not dealing with religion. Mr. Hart is not dealing with religion. He has separated the religion from law. I want people to understand what you have done, and what you have done is you have concentrated, you have compiled this information in the area of law, not religion. You've stated before that religion is more or less the cloak of fiction that the Vatican used to hide its hand. But as you state, and that is also what you have always said, is that they are a law-abiding people. That is 100% fact. You get the religion because the intent is to confuse you and deceive you, while they create and control the laws. So I want people to get out of the mindset that what we're talking about is religion. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about law. And the King James Bible, written 400 years ago in 1611, put out by the Vatican, is a book of law.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So I want to continue to reiterate that. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The Bible is not a religious book. The Bible is a law book. And I'll say that again. The Bible, the authorized written Bible, is not a religious book. It is used in religion to deceive people. But it's a law book. That's why in a court of law, and it's a book of truth. That's why in a court of law, they use the Bible, and you place one hand on the Bible and raise the other one, and swear to tell the truth. You swear, you're swearing on the book that is a book of truth and the highest law book in the land, you know, that all people have access to. The highest law book, most important, okay? The Bible is a law book. It is not a religious book at all, okay? And when they use it in religion, they are using it perversely, and their intent is to deceive you in religion. And that is evident in all the things I teach. I, bring forth laws and all in the, from the Bible. You know? They don't teach any of those laws in the church world. Not any of them. So what does that tell you? Why don't they? Because that's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to see. I told someone earlier, well, I told someone this past week, and this is a true statement based on the knowledge and understanding of Bible content. The church world doesn't teach anything. I teach truth of Bible content. So what does that suggest? That suggests the church does not teach the truth of Bible content. It doesn't teach anything I teach. I told somebody, if you want to hear some lies, go to church. Just simple as that. If you want to hear some lies, go to church, because that's what you're going to get when they talk about the Bible. You're going to get that which is not real. Jesus is a fictitious character, I say over and over. And they teach Jesus as though he is a real individual and have people believing in a fictitious individual for their salvation and even beyond death. So truth is very important again. Truth is very important. And I make no apologies for teaching the truth of Bible content. And those who are against this teaching, they are enemies of the truth, just put it simply. They are enemies of the truth. Mr. Welch?
Yes, Mr. Hart. Very well said. Very well said. There's a gentleman out there by the name of Jeremiah Camara, Jeremiah Camara. And I believe this gentleman is out of Atlanta. I do know he's in Georgia also. And his website, you go to Jeremiah Camara, just type in his name in the search engine, you'll come across his website. But he's doing a fabulous job of teaching African Americans or black people throughout the world to think critically and to look at the reasons why we are still worshiping in the religious format. And he's done a series of videos and has written a book called Holy Lockdown. And, you know, all one would have to do is go there and find a good library of information that will help you to think out critically with what this religious, where it came from, and why do we think the way we do? And he ties it into our enslavement. And, you know, I had a very interesting conversation with my brother yesterday. My older brother and I, we're very close, and we talk periodically. He's in Detroit. And so he talks to me about all of the things that happens with the mayor and the city council, and he's very plugged in with the politics in Detroit. And he made a statement. He said that, you know, some black people are still locked up in a slave mentality. And I had to correct him. I said, I would say that all black people are still locked up in a slave mentality. And why do I say that? I say that because right now, a good portion of our people are sitting right now in the queue, listening to a pastor, and the sermon is not something that is brand new. I'm sure that it's the same sermon that we've heard year in and year out over the years. And not only that, but I told him, I said, freedom for black people is not just becoming educated and you know, finding a good position in a corporate setting and able to have a McMansion out in the suburbs
and a $50,000 platinum credit card. What I mean by freedom is we are in sole control of our destiny from our from worshiping our God in our image, to controlling the commerce, the banking, the financial system, the issuance of currency, and loans, and the creation of businesses and other opportunities, and building schools to educate your children, and control of your water and agriculture. That is the sign of freedom, and nothing short of that can qualify. So yes, 100% of our people are still locked up in a slave mentality. I know, you know, here in the United States, of course. And I left out the legislation and laws that we're creating, laws that govern and shape our, not just our way of life, but everything that comes with it, government, and the politics and relations between the people and whatnot. So, again, this enslavement thing is, you know, I know they told us it ended in 1865 at the end of the Civil War, but here it is. We're still almost 150 years later. We're still dealing with that, and we have to, I think, as a people, really begin to buckle down and tackle this situation, and look at it from an extremely critical eye, and question everything. And the first thing we need to do is stop looking at the Bible as a religious book. I think that once we do that, everything else will be a domino effect. Because, and this is a saying that I coined, I didn't coin this, I think I heard it, but it states that spiritual enslavement is when your enemy becomes your deity. And that's what we have to do. Our condition has yet to be broken psychologically, because a lot of us, I would say 99.9% of us, are still running around with the deity that was given to us in the name of Jesus Christ. Once we break that, then we must continue with all the other different areas that I mentioned aforementioned. But we must start with the Bible. And I feel very deeply about that, Your Lordship. You have anything to say about that?
The truth. Turn our ears to the truth, as I said earlier, to the truth of Bible content. I believe that's the beginning point right there. Turning our ears to the truth. And once we do that, to do that will be a great thing just within itself. And you mentioned a domino effect. A domino effect would take place. And let me say this. When I say turn your ears to the truth, I don't mean that the truth is a cure-all. You know what I'm saying? Thing. It's just what it is. You know the truth. Know truth.
Absolutely.
It's virtue. Yeah, that's a virtue. Knowing the truth.
And that's miraculous in and of itself. I don't know what it is that people are looking for somebody to come in out of the clouds on a surfboard or something. You know, we're not talking about that kind of miracle. Just knowing the truth is miraculous.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. And that's my message. Knowing the truth. hearing the truth, learning the truth, not just listening to it, but walking in accordance with the truth, or in accordance to the truth. As you said, that's miraculous within itself. That's a big milestone, because it will, in effect, bring about so many other things. But right now, that's where we are. We're in a position, because if you don't know the truth, you're deceived. You either know the truth of Bible content or you're deceived. And that's my message. Anything else, Mr. Welch?
No, sir. I think just like I said, another fabulous show. I look forward to tuning in every Sunday morning, and you know, I would ask our listeners to keep listening, call in. Don't forget to raise your hand if you have a question or comment, and join the discussion. We'd like to hear from you, and don't be afraid, and don't forget to go to lawmaster.co for the manuscript, and also YouTube. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and I think we have a caller. Mr. Hart, do you have time to take a call at this time?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, sir, madam, with your hand up, area code 803, I'm bringing you in. You're on air now. Go ahead.
Been listening to the show, and I've been listening to the show for quite a bit. I do want to actually acknowledge Dr. Hart for coming on and trying to at least expose a certain amount of truth regarding the Bible content. I think that could actually be the catalyst for actually changing the mindset of African Americans or Black people to start with, because we're so bound by believing that the Bible is a book of religion and it's used for spiritual salvation, and that is one of the reasons why so many of our people actually cling on to it. And it's almost as if it's a safety net for them to actually be able to depend upon a fictitious character to actually save them from whatever hardships mm-hmm. or plights that they're going through in this particular life. But I think, and no, not so much I think, I know that learning the truth about the true intention of the Bible could actually be a stepping stone for individuals to start to think independently, to the point where they're not so deceived and manipulated by the so-called spiritual concepts supposed to be, you know, related to the Bible. So I really appreciate, you know, your efforts in trying to at least educate individuals. And I know that you're not selling religion. It's just the truth. And that's all I have.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You from South Carolina?
Yes, I am.
What city?
Yes, I am. I am from Columbia.
Okay. And thank you for listening to the program. And,
no problem.
Say
no problem.
Okay, I appreciate that. And you said it, and that's what we are saying, that learning the truth would be a catalyst. That's a beginning point. And I'm glad you spoke out, and we need you to speak out. We need the people to speak out, and even if they have a question or something. And you said it, the Bible is not a religious book at all. It mm-hmm. is a law book through and through. And it's just coming upon us to know the things that are in it, and that's why I'm here, and that's why I'm setting forth these things to help our people, to bring us out of the deception that has been cast upon us. Go ahead.
Okay. And if I may add, you know, a lot of people have different takes on, you know, the content of the Bible, whether it be in the form of astrology, and there's so many. There's a lot of information that's written there, and it's not so much to actually convince us that we should abide by, you know, everything that is contained in the Bible. It just tells us exactly how to deal with the individuals who actually constructed this particular book, because it helps us to understand what their true intentions are and how to actually deal with these particular obstacles. So I think we should be aware of what their true intentions were initially when it came to putting our people in bondage and what their intentions are now, you know, because it still relates to the situation that we're in now. And we're being held, we're not so much in, just like the brother spoke earlier, we're not so much in physical enslavement, but the most powerful thing that an enemy can take hold of, not your body, but your mind. As long as they have control of your mind, then they have control of your whole body. So it's very important to try to change the mental constructs of individuals, our people, because we're sometimes I feel as if we're so lost that, a lot of people don't want to know the truth because it hurts too bad. So, and I understand that concept, but if we're really serious about getting out of the situation, then we need to understand the individuals that created the situation.
That's true, and the Bible gives us a good take on the Gentiles. I mean, they put the things in there, and actually the things, a lot of the stuff in there make them look bad, make them look evil, and they confess to their evil. Papacy has said in the Bible, I and my people are wicked. You know what I'm saying? That's a confession.
That's correct.
And then we see what they did to black people in the poor man's, the plaintiff's complaint today. You know what I'm saying? These things are real, and that within itself shows the essence of Bible content, that it has to do with conquest of black people, enslavement and scattering, et cetera, of black people. And now the end of that complaint, the complaint was real, okay, and genuine. The end of the complaint is this right here. He won his case for his people. Okay? He won his case, and guess what happened? The papacy ordered all slaves to be freed. I didn't go into that today. I meant to, but we started talking, and I never did get back. But by setting forth his complaint in a court of law, in a lawful setting, he won. And black people were emancipated. Okay, that was the beginning, our emancipation from slavery. And, of course, all these other things that I teach that are in the Bible and all. And let's not forget the law of God. The law of God is the most important piece of literature in the Bible, because in that law, the Gentiles, the papacy and the Gentiles, give all their power to a black man. That is very important. So let's not forget that either. You know, everything I teach is important, okay? But and I appreciate your listening, and I appreciate your speaking forth and coming forth, okay? Okay, she may not be there anymore. But,
yes, I'm here. Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate your coming forth and speaking up.
Yes, okay. I like to listen, so, you know. And I normally try to listen to any show that I listen to. I listen to the whole show to see exactly what is being offered. But I knew your intent initially. I just don't have enough time to listen because I'm back and forth doing things. But I was glad that I had the opportunity today. So.
And I am too. I am. It really made my day.
Well, we appreciate anyone that can go to the archives. You don't have to always turn into the live show. We'll all, you know, each show will be archived, and where people can go back and listen to the show. And also, you can email us at any of the sites if you have any questions or if you have comments. Keep in touch with us. We are on Facebook, and where you can upload questions, comments, anything that you find in the media that might be of interest. You know, there's many ways to contact us, even when a person cannot tune in live. And we really appreciate you tuning in with us and calling in. And I hope that you continue to do so.
I will.
All right.
Okay, Mr. Williams, that is?
Yes, sir. I think that, that pretty much covers everything. It was so nice to have a listener call in and make the comments. that were stated. Mm-hmm. So we continue to encourage anyone to call in. Let us know that you're listening, that what Mr. Hart is bringing forth is sinking in. Because we have work to do, and we're looking for more people to, if nothing else, spread the word of this broadcast. Our people need this word right now. And that's all I have for now, Mr. Hart, if you would like the last word.
Well, that's it. Let's just end it with that, then.
Okay, sir. Until next time, everyone, this is Lawmaster signing off. Have a good day.